This is your girl, Dia Direct, and I'm talking to my fabulous and fly girlfriend, Crystal King. Crystal is an amazing professional, MBA. She's a wife, a mother, all-around diva. At the same time, Crystal, you're also a breast cancer survivor.
Hi, Dia. So I've been battling this for quite some time now. I am in remission, and I was originally diagnosed at 25 years of age. So you're right, very young, and quite a battle to deal with at such a young age.
Tell us a little bit about your story. How did you find out that you had breast cancer? What was that like?
So finding out that I had breast cancer was really like having the wind knocked out of you. You don't really look for that type of a diagnosis, especially, you know, at age 25.
At 25, what was happening in your life? Like, you know, what were you doing? What was life like? And then tell me what happened.
Yeah, so at age 25, you know, I am going about my busy everyday life. I had a 4-year-old son. Life was great. I had a wonderful fiance. I was in the midst of planning my wedding. I had just gotten engaged 10 months earlier. And, you know, all of a sudden comes this, you know, this 18-wheeler is what it feels like out of the blue. And what was really funny to you is that I was on my lunch break when I found out that, you know, that something was going on. And so it was really like just having somebody, it's what my mentor calls a life interrupted moment. It was truly a life interrupted moment. And it just took me by surprise.
But I mean, what even made you go check your breast out? What was going on physically?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so what made me go check my breast was really the fact that I had heartburn. And, you know, and so I say that because I want to let everybody know that the two had nothing to do with each other. I went to the doctor because I was having heartburn. I had just moved to Texas, had a brand new doctor, a young black physician whom I love dearly, Sandra Brown. And so I am with Dr. Brown, and this is her first time seeing me. So she says, well, I can't just check you for heartburn. I have to do your entire physical. That is how I operate. And by the grace of God, that's what she did. And so I told her initially, I said, but I'm on my lunch break. I don't have time. She was like, well, if you want to be treated for this heartburn, you're going to get the whole physical. So that is the point. The point that I want everybody to pick up on in that is getting your physicals, your yearly annual is so very critical. And had she not pushed for that, I don't think I'd be here today. And so getting that physical, you know, she's looking at my family's health history and saw that my mom had been diagnosed with breast cancer just 3 years earlier. And she was telling me, you know, I think I feel something. And that's what made me look back at your chart to see if you had a history of this in your family. And so when she saw that, when she felt what she felt in my breast, and then she saw my family's health history, even looking back and seeing that my father's mother had ovarian cancer, and that's something that a lot of women don't know, is that breast and ovarian cancer can very much so be linked. And so looking at that, she said, you know what, I'm sending you for a mammogram. It was truly a surprising moment for me.
That kind of hit me because I know I've been avoiding going to get my mammogram. I've had one before, but I've been avoiding it like many of us because you always say things like, I don't have time. You know,
right.
I've got these deadlines.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you end up taking care of everything else where in the long run, that means very little if you're not healthy. So
absolutely. And, you know, what you just said was so powerful because you're right. We do take care of everyone else except ourselves. And, you know, I want to remind everybody that when you board an airplane and you're getting ready to take this flight, right, they come on and they give this whole spiel around, you know, please ensure that you secure your own mask before trying to help others around you. And they do that for a reason. If you really think about it, if you don't take care of yourself, you won't be here to take care of others. And that hit home with me. I mean, I really think about, you know, when my doctor told me, and by this time I was in the hands of Dr. Tara McLaughlin, another just incredible woman, love her dearly as well. And so I'm sitting down with Dr. McLaughlin, my breast surgeon, and she's telling me, you know, we're going to have to remove your breast. And then she's also telling me and sending me to see, you know, an oncologist is telling me you're going to have chemo. So I'm in this whirlwind of people just telling me, oh my gosh, we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to do that. You know, for a moment it was overwhelming. And then what really sobered me up was the fact that I had this 4-year-old beautiful little boy that I loved beyond life itself and loved with all my heart. And all I could think about was if I didn't go through with the surgery and I didn't go through with chemotherapy and I didn't go through with this whole treatment regimen that was so overwhelming to me, I thought about how overwhelming his life would be without me. And that is really what brought me back into reality and says, you know what, you got to fight. You got a lot of things to fight for, you know, and nothing else meant anything. You know, I've heard people say before, oh, you lose all your hair with chemo. That stuff does not matter, because I tell women all the time, you know, you can lay in a casket with your real breasts, or you can let those go and get what they give you in the place of them and push forward. You know, you can live without hair. It's going to grow back. I mean, all of these things are, you know, are just fine. So as women, you know, we really have to put what's first and keep our priorities straight. And that means taking care of yourself and getting to the doctor when you should.
So move me forward. So you go through chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Did you have a mastectomy?
I did. I had a mastectomy. And what was really funny about that is, you know, you have these moments where you get nervous because, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm having this mastectomy. I'm engaged, you know, trying to let my fiance, who was my fiance at the time, and my husband now, just one of the most incredible men in the world. And, I, you know, what was so funny is I was like, what is he going to think of me? I just felt just all sorts of ways. And you come to realize those things just don't even matter. It just doesn't even matter. It doesn't. So, yes, I had a mastectomy. I had chemotherapy. I was on tamoxifen for 5 years post-treatment. So it was a long process. It was really, really a long process. But like I said, a wonderful one more than having my breast reconstructed, it reconstructed my life. It reconstructed who I was as a person. It made me a lot stronger. And I thought I was already strong, right? I had been through my mom's diagnosis. And what was so crazy is that when my mom was diagnosed, she was the caretaker for my grandparents. So that meant I became their caretaker, right? Because she couldn't take care of them at the time. She's truly the hero in my eyes. And she says something so powerful to me all the time. She's like, I really believe God allowed me to go through this breast cancer journey before you so that I would know how to take care of you as my child. It's one of the most touching things I've ever heard. And so getting her through her battle, taking care of my grandparents, I had a small child at the time. I had a full load of classes. I was working 40 hours a week. It stretches your limits, but it shows you just how strong we are as women.
You know, lifestyle is very important. We like, you know, the things that we like.
Yeah.
Most women, when girlfriends go out together, you know, we're toasting it up and having our wine and all these things and not necessarily thinking about what harm we might be doing to our bodies. Are there any foods or drinks that we should be aware of, or any food tips that, you know, that are no-nos that could potentially lead to cancer that we should know about?
Oh, absolutely. Great question, Dia. I am a huge proponent of a healthy, active lifestyle. I do my best to work out. And, you know, speaking of girlfriends, that's something you can do together. You know, I think about my best friend. We get up and we run together on Saturday mornings. We try our best to do 3 miles on Saturday mornings. So it's not something you have to do, you know, by yourself. And we go to boxing class. You know, we're in Title Boxing Club, you know, religiously ensuring that we're working out that way as well. So it's fun ways to do it. In terms of toasting it up with your girls, that's cool every now and then, but you don't want to find yourself, you know, think about women these days. We work, right? And we work high stress jobs. So we're looking for the nearest happy hour a lot of times. But, you know, alcohol is one of the things that increases your risk for developing breast cancer. There's nothing that you can do to totally prevent it, but there are things you can do to reduce your risk. And so ensuring that you're not drinking on a regular basis is a huge one. So, you know, we really do have to be careful about that.
How do we
and
know?
Eating
what,
right.
What is it about alcohol that increases your chances for getting cancer, though?
Well, I can't tell you the exact pathology because I'm not 100% sure on that, but I can tell you that doctors do recommend that you limit your intake of alcohol. So you want to be reasonable with it, right? You don't want to have a drink of alcohol every night. That's not a great thing. So just ensuring that you are drinking in moderation versus, you know, turning to alcohol as your daily, you know, de-stressor. So I think that's very important to know. And, you know, additionally, I would tell you that eating right is key. I am a huge proponent of those superfoods, right? So kale, if you look at a bag of kale and you read the nutrients and the vitamins in it, you'd be blown away. You'll want to consume the whole bag. So ensuring that you're getting your kale in and your blueberries. I mean, I would just tell women to Google superfoods and ensuring that you're just finding creative ways to do it. Get with your girlfriends and talk about, you know, good healthy recipes, right? There's ways to do it that make it fun. A healthy and active lifestyle can be fun. And I look at it this way, you know, we're increasing the sisterhood for the long haul, right? If we're all doing this together and we're living right together, then, you know, we're going to be around for each other much longer.
Are there any other tips that we should be aware of that we may not just know.
Well, here's a huge to-do. Keep a good girlfriend in your life like Dia, who I love dearly. Definitely having someone around who's going to hold you accountable and who you can hold accountable and is a great thought partner on some things in life. I think that really does go a long way towards increasing our lifespan, really, you know, if we're really sincere about it. So I would say, you know, the three key takeaways would be eat right, exercise, and limit your alcohol intake. I don't even think we need to make it any more complicated than that. If we can do those three simple things, which seem to be, you know, pretty hard for us sometimes, it is a lifestyle change, but we have to be committed to making it. We have to.
Great. Crystal, thank you so much. And any final words, you know, as we observe October as Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
You know, it's Dr. Season on the Tom Joyner Show, and I'm really excited that you guys are doing that. It's critically important. And I want women to take away two things when it comes to the doctor. You know, you're not in a position where you're just getting nothing because you're not 40. If you're below 40, you can still get a clinical breast exam. And if you are below 40, you really can get a mammogram if there is a health history in your family that dictates that you get one, because the recommendation is certainly 10 years before the diagnosis of your nearest relative. So there are options. Don't feel limited. And I would also say check out Susan G. Komen for the Cure. There are a lot of great tips and tools there that you can find that will certainly help you along the way. And if you know someone who has been diagnosed, that's the other thing I would recommend Komen for. They usually have a list of questions that you can print out and take with you to the doctor. So I'm wishing breast health to all of my sisters out there. And Dia, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Crystal. Absolutely. I appreciate your time and all of your advice.
Thank you.